You may have noticed that we are missing a few of our folks this week. I want you to know that there's some folks out on vacation right now, but our student ministry is in Orlando, student and young people. And they are at an actual book exposition. But while everyone is there for the books, right now, Jason, who does our lighting and helps with the audio, is dressed as Jesus Christ out in the front of the exposition, and the students are handing out Bibles to tell people about our book. Amen. How about that? Amen? Yes. Isn't that great? Well, today we continue in our series, Living a Life of Significance. Today is all about living the convicted life, or a life of convictions. Please turn and your Word of God to Joshua chapter 6, verse 21 through 27. Joshua chapter 6, verse 21 through 27. If you're glad to be here this morning, say amen. If you'd rather be here than be in Broward County Jail, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Now, I just want to share something with you because I got up this morning and was under strong conviction of the Lord to preach it today, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, which we do each and every week. But I would like to share with you that about half of my message will be before we actually get to the bullet points in your notes. So don't grow restless. Once we get to the bullet points and the notes, we'll have laid the foundation for our points today. If you have the Word of God, whether in digital or printed format, all over the sanctuary, please hold your Bibles up in the air. Amen. If you're there at Joshua chapter 6, verse 21, say amen.
Amen.
Reading from the Word of God. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, oxen, sheep, and donkey, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the country, "Go to the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her." And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Then Joshua charged them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds the city Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the land. May the Lord add his blessings to his word. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You know, last week, we glossed over verse 21 just a little bit. Verse 21 is a difficult passage. For most people, it's a very troubling passage. You see, the words "utterly destroyed" means to annihilate. It means to absolutely obliterate. The actual text is from the word harem, which means to... It means to devote to the ban. That's what that word actually means. In other words, let me explain how that works biblically for you. If something was placed under God's ban, His harem, if it was devoted to the Lord for destruction, then it must be annihilated from the face of the earth. If it was devoted to the Lord as a gift, then that gift had to be brought to the Lord. Amen? And if it was set aside as God's promise to do something, then God would surely do it. So that word haram means devoted to. And what has been devoted is that Jericho has been devoted to the Lord for destruction of its people and its walls, but of its riches, that was to be devoted to the Lord as a gift. Amen? It's very important that we understand that. So however the Lord's ban falls in life, it would 100% have to happen, because the Lord has said so, and the Lord cannot change. Amen? Isn't it good that the Lord never changes? He never changes. His promises renew every morning. If God says it's going to happen, then friends, it is going to happen. Here is the real issue. Look at verse 121 one more time. If you're there, say amen. If you're there in your Bibles and not just staring at the screen, say amen. There we go. Now we're talking. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. We ask, how could such a thing be possible? You know, around our nation right now, we have all kinds of Gold Star families. Mothers that have lost their children in war. Whether it's in the current confrontations or the Vietnam War or World War II or wherever they lost those children. It's a terrible thing to lose a child, amen? It's a terrible thing. So, you may be asking, kill everyone? Kill everything? Really, Lord? How could God's people possibly endorse such a thing? We each ask, kill even the youngest among them? The youngest? The children? We struggle with that, amen? You know, that's one of those passages that the joy boys, the happy clappy Christians, want to take out of the Bible. But it's the Word of God and it must stand. And we're going to see why that is. How could that be? But we all struggle with that. I am sure that we're all horrified by the recent events in our world and what is happening with the radical Islamic jihadists and terrorists all over the world. How is it possible that whatever the event, that someone could target young girls for annihilation? Amen? How does the Lord allow that to happen? Those children that were recently killed in Manchester, England. The idea of causing children harm goes against everything that decent people believe. Amen? Absolutely. We look at our children and how we protect them. We guard them. We safeguard them against the evils of the world. Hopefully we raise them up in the knowledge and the fear of the Lord so that when they go forth into the society, they know where they stand. Our young people in Orlando, right this very moment, what are they doing? They are standing for the Lord. They are telling people, there may be books here, but let me tell you about the book of all books. Let me tell you about the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. Let me tell you why He makes a difference in my life. And by the way, I couldn't think of a better person to dress up as Jesus than my brother Jason. That young man loves the Lord. He loves to serve God. You know, and I just love that about young people. I love barbarian Christians. I love Christians that just go out there and declare the word of the Lord. You know, but this, what we're talking about with this harm of the children is exactly what God's word. So why would God give that order? Well, did you know that it is possible for people to become so savage, for people to become so corrupt, that they are beyond any hope or correction? Did you know that that's possible? In other words, they get that place where their heart simply cannot be pierced with the Word of God. I know, Pastor Larry, but the youngest? Yeah, that's what the Word of God says. Behind the walls of Jericho were the Canaanites, an absolutely corrupt people. We're going to talk about this more over the next few weeks. Other than Rahab the harlot, of all people, and her family, they were not the slightest bit interested in changing. And the youngest of them were being raised by these animals without the slightest possibility of being raised in the Lord. Without the slightest bit of possibility. So, killing the youngest means, biblically, that before they reach the age of accountability, whatever age that is, the Lord says it is better just to bring them to me now. And He allowed in His permissive will for this to happen. He determined in His permissive will for this to happen. Listen, friends, this is so important. Our God is a God of love. Our God is a God of grace. Our God is a God of mercy. But God is holy. Therefore, God demands that His holiness be respected. And God demands that justice... Wait a minute, let me think of a better word for this situation here. God demands that judgment be executed against Jericho. Yeah, I know, I'm Mr. Happy Fun Guy this morning. But we're gonna get through this and we're going to get back to the Lord Jesus and salvation. Amen? See, listen, when we look at this, we need to think of this in divine terms. We can't think of it in human terms. This is not human vengeance that is being taken upon the people of Jericho. This is the divine way. If you look on the screen, we have a passage up there from the book of Isaiah. What does it say? We know this so well, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God says, don't try to understand what I'm doing. Don't try to understand the way I'm going. You see, I don't know if you've ever read the book of Job. But in the book of Job, it seems so unfair that Job was known as the most righteous man in all of the East. Yet God allowed Satan to strike him down. And we think that's so unfair. And so Job, seeking comfort, is told by his wife, why don't you just curse God and die? Now, before we get too hard on Mrs. Job, she had lost everything as well, amen? She had gone from being respected in the society, or her husband an important man, and now he's on this pile of ashes worth absolutely nothing. She's lost all of her children as well. But then the Lord also sends Larry, Moe, and Curly. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, three friends that are sorry encouragers, because they're not encouragers at all. They simply come as legalists with the message, this happened to you, you must have sinned, repent. And they go on for about 38 chapters like that. And then in chapter 38, Job cries out about what he seems as the unfairness. And it says that God speaks out of the whirlwind. And God says, who is this that darkens counsel without knowledge? I will question you and you will answer me like a man. And God goes on a 2-chapter rant about where were you when I created the heavens? Where were you when I hung the earth in the sky? And he goes, where were you when I told the ocean you may go here and no further? 2 chapters he goes like that. And Job at the end of that 2 chapters says, I didn't understand what I was saying. I placed my hand upon my mouth. I have nothing to say. The Lord says, oh, that's nice, but that's not what I told you. I told you I will question you and you will answer me like a man. Then he goes off about the created creatures. Where were you when I created Leviathan? Where were you when I created the ostrich? Silly looking animal, by the way. You'd think the Lord did that just for grins, I'm sure. And he goes for 2 chapters like that. At the end of that 2 chapters, Job says, I repent. I knew not of what I speak. In other words, God is saying, if you can't explain the physical world that I created, don't you dare try to judge me on the moral things. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You know, we are commanded by Scripture not to take our own revenge when we are wronged. Did you know that? It says right in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You see, in Joshua 6:21, the judgment was against the entire people of Canaan. Listen to me, entire means all. And while I'm on the subject matter of revenge, each and every one of us here has been wronged in our life, amen? Have you ever been treated unfairly? Have you ever had somebody do something absolutely wrong to you? What are we told to do? We are to forgive. Who is held hostage when we hold grudges in our heart? Not the person that wronged us, but us. But see, many of us want our own version of revenge. Some people live in the courtroom of complaint because they have been wronged. And they rehash the same hurt every chance they get with anyone and everyone that will listen. You ever find somebody like that? I try to unfind them as fast as humanly possible. I can't be around them getting all bummed out all the time. These are the folks whose glass is not only half full, somebody stole their water. You understand what I'm coming to say? Amen. Yeah, there you go. Don't act all spiritual on me here today. Now listen, if that's you, whether you're here or watching on the internet, I'm not judging, but let me ask you a simple question. If that's how you feel because somebody has hurt you and you don't feel like they've gotten what they deserve, why are you trying to do God's job for Him? He has said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. You see, when somebody comes against the Christian, they come against the bride of Christ. Amen? And Christ is jealous for His bride. I've said it so many times, you can harm me. I'm a pastor. Things get said. I hear things, not from any of you guys, but things get back to a pastor always. And you can't harbor grudges in your heart. And I just put that away. It doesn't faze me at all. But if you talk about my bride, we've entered a whole new realm. And all God's men said, amen. Yeah, we know what that's like. You can talk about me, but don't be talking about my wife. Don't talk about my bride. You see, friends, judgment is God's job. To assume anything else is to assume that God is not able to execute justice correctly. Amen? When we forgive someone that's wronged us, we show that we're trusting in God's plan. When we forgive someone that's wronged us, we say we're trusting that God will take care of that. When we move on when somebody has stolen or wronged or slandered us, we are saying, I have left that with the Lord in my prayers. And that is not holding me hostage. But I also trust the Lord to take care of that. And whatever judgment or justice God issues against them, His ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. Forgiveness is stating that God is faithful and that He will make things right. So leave God to judgment. Who knows? He may decide to use you like He used His people at Jericho. Wouldn't that be great? Don't you want to be an instrument of God's Word? Don't you want to be an instrument of God's plan? You see, I'm so excited about those students that are up in Orlando right now. That just fits my fiddle. That's an old-time saying for some of you young people. By young people, that's almost everybody in here that's younger than me. Except Mom sitting right there, Miss Lenora. Listen, God decides to use Israel to do His work of judgment against the Canaanites. Now, whether or not the Canaanites had wronged the Israelites is irrelevant. They had wronged who? God. They had done evil against the Lord, and God decides to get His vengeance through His people. Don't get the wrong idea. There was absolutely nothing spiritually wonderful about the Israelites either. Sometimes we get caught up in that. God is blessing where we're going to church, or God is blessing something we did, and we think, oh, I must have been on. I must be right with God right now. I must be something special to God. Excuse me. We're all special to God. But He will use who He will use. Amen? And you have been given the task that He trusts you to do, and that He has enabled and called you to do. So God simply decided to use them, and God can use you. Do you believe that God can use you? Say amen. Amen. All right, good, because I'm going to hold you to that. And as a result is that the Canaanites are completely destroyed, and Rahab the harlot with all of her family gets saved. Can you imagine that? That God saves the prostitute in this city of wickedness. What was so special about Rahab? Her faith. She had faith that God was God and that God would save her. That's what she had faith in. It's her faith in the God of Israel that's made her resourceful. It's her faith in the God of Israel that's made her willing to help others, even at the possible great cost to herself. She was living in dangerous times. By the way, did you know she is only one of two women mentioned by name in Hebrews chapter 11, God's Hall of Faith? One of only two women. There's only two women mentioned in the Hall of Faith by name. Rahab and Sarah, Abraham's wife. Now that's got to be awkward. Sarah, you're going to be in the Word of God. Oh, Sarah's going, oh, thank you, Lord. With Rahab. this is an awkward moment for the person that doesn't trust in God. Amen? But for the person that trusts in God, we all know our past. Let's try that again. For the person that knows God, we know our past. And our wives know our past. And our husbands know our past. And they know where all the things are buried in our lives. And so God can use who He wants to use. And if your faith is great, God, you make it into God's hall of faith. But not only that, not only is she in the hall of faith, Rahab is also a relative of Boaz, who is an ancestor of King David. And King David is an ancestor of who? Jesus Christ. You can read all about that in Matthew chapter 1. Jesus' family tree includes Rahab the harlot. And you thought you had some embarrassing family secrets. You guys thought you had somebody embarrassing in the family tree. Don't sit there looking all spiritual at me. We all know when you have the family get together and that member of the family shows up, and everybody goes, "Oh my Lord." Back in Louisiana, we call that a couillon. All right, and every family has one. And if you don't know who the family couillon is, you might be the family couillon. So we all have that. All right, everybody has that going on in their family. Friends, Rahab's main strength is that she has faith and she recognized she needed saving. What about you here today? What about those of you on the internet? Do you realize that you need saving? Have you taken care of that already? Have you called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because judgment was coming for Rahab, and judgment is coming for the world. And Rahab was right in the path of the fierce wrath of Almighty God. And the world doesn't know it, but so are they. That's why our students are up there passing out the Word of God right this moment. The world needs to know. Maybe Rahab could live her faith because she just knew because of the Word of the Lord. The things that Paul would write 1,500 years later in Philippians 4:11, he says, "Not that I speak in regard for need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be what? To be content." Are you content where the Lord has you right now? Are you content where the Lord has you living? Are you content where the Lord has placed you with serving? Are you content in your prayer life? Are you content in your relationship with the Lord? Guys, reach out to God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God and be content in where He has placed you. For some reason, the last few weeks, the Lord has allowed me to have a really, really, really sore left knee. Miss Ruth Ann seems to think it's my weight. I told her I'll go see some other quack. But for some reason, the Lord allows my knee to get stronger when it comes time to preach His Word. And I'm so grateful for that. But it was kind of humorous watching me get out of the pool yesterday. It was humorous to her. And so a prostitute willingly used by men is saved and becomes a hero of the Bible. God's grace is truly amazing. Amen? But in the moment of today's victory story, I also wonder what she was thinking when the walls of Jericho fell down. See, it's easy to have faith, guys, when everything's going on, right? But how hard is it to have faith when the walls come crashing down or in your life? When the things of your life just come crashing down all about around you. You have a plan. You believe you're following God. You're all prayed up. You're all read up in the Word of God. And still, things crash down in your life. The unexpected happens. You thought because you've done all the right things, God would allow this, but God allows that. What do you do? What is with your faith when that happens? And so the question today is, do we dare? Not is it... Can we believe that God really saved the harlot? The real question is, wherever we are in our station in life, is that can God save a sinner like me? I'm here to tell you, yes, He can. You know how I know? Because He saved one like me. He is an equal opportunity God. He will say every single person that God has ever saved, are you ready for this? Was a sinner. Every single one of us were sinners. And so God is in the judgment business and God is in the salvation business. Not me or anyone else. We are not in the salvation business. We are not in the judgment business. That is God's job. I tell people that I'm not the morality police. I'm just a beggar telling other beggars where to find the food. Not only find the food, but find the banquet. Find the feast Now, I know this has been a long lead-in, but why don't you go with me for just a moment as we look at Rahab's salvation story. Because her story is the same as any sinner that has ever been saved by the grace of God. Watch closely the path of salvation. I have four very simple points, and we will move through these quickly. First, the unsaved are assured of destruction. The unsaved are assured of destruction. Listen, we are all destined for destruction. Did you know that? From birth. Let me try that again, just in case we miss that. From birth, we are all destined for destruction. We don't need to do anything. But Ephesians chapter 2 says that while we were bound for destruction, it says, but God sent the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we were marching inexorably toward hell and destruction. But God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul says that in the book of Romans, by one man, the man Adam, sin entered the world. And so let me ask you guys something. How much sin was required for all of creation to be corrupted? How many sins? One. Amen, says the pastor's wife. I believe that because she reads her Bible all the time. The psalmist, King David, said that the heart of a man is desperately wicked and the same as a viper's heart. Well, that's not very encouraging. And we're like that from birth. To explain that is the reality of God. The reality of God's holiness, we are born with a viper's heart. The heart of a snake. In relation to the holiness of God, who is absolutely holy, amen? I think I lost you there for a moment. I think I left some words out. In relation to the holiness of God, we are born completely unholy. The hearts of vipers. And apart from Jesus Christ, there is no way to get to heaven. Apart from the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me ask you something, if you don't believe that. If you take a pair of snakes and they have babies, what kind of babies do they have? Snakes. That's right. Really simple, guys. This isn't a tough test. Snakes always make other snakes. You will never get bunny rabbits out of mama and daddy vipers. I don't care what the evolutionists say. You will always get a snake. That's the heart and the attitude that God's Word said we are born with. We are born whiny, resentful, venomous, cold, remorseless snakes. You think not. A newborn baby. What are they interested in? Feed me, change me, hold me. Moms, dead, have your children always lived like little bundles of pure joy? Absolutely not. There's been times when our kids were growing up, I thought Satan himself was in the house. Thank goodness my wife stood firm. She never budged an inch. And thank goodness that she had a wooden fork that she executed judgment with. And the kids could not believe to this day that fork never broke. I said, that was the mighty outstretched arm of the Lord Himself right there. So, you don't have to teach your children to be selfish. You don't have to teach your children to want what they want. In other words, we don't have to teach our children to act just like a snake. It's how children are brought into the world. Scripture, oh, by the way, even using bunny rabbits is a bad analogy. Because as far as I can tell, bunny rabbits are interested primarily in making other bunny rabbits. All right? So Scripture clearly teaches that apart from God, we are destined for destruction. Ephesians 2 says that we are walking according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan himself, apart from Jesus Christ. So let's get back for a moment to Joshua chapter 6. If you've got your Bibles open, look at Joshua chapter 6, verse 17. If you're there, say amen. Now the city shall be doomed by who? By the Lord for what? To destruction. So first we see that the unsaved are assured of destruction. God guarantees it. Our next point today. The saved are assured of delivery. God seeks out those that call upon His great name. Just in case you missed that, sitting here in the sanctuary or watching it on the internet. God seeks out those that are seeking to be saved. Joshua had sent the two spies to save Rahab and her entire family. Did you notice something? The walls of Jericho had fallen down. Rahab's house was part of the wall of Jericho. Remember, she let the spies out by a cord or rope out of her window on the outside of the city. Somehow, God protected her. But why? Because they believed upon the Lord God. They turned away from their own sinful and evil people and they chose to become identified with God's people. You are identified with God's people. Sitting right here today, I know we got a bunch of people out and on vacation. It's okay. Look around the sanctuary. Look around. You are going to be with them and me forever. Amen. Rennell, no need to do that, man. Brother Rennell goes... I know that was probably just a moment he needed to clear his eyes out. That's right, guys. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are going to be together forever. Isn't that an amazing, wonderful thought? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Because of her faith, she was saved. Her family was saved. They turned from their own sin. They committed their lives to follow God. Joshua, which means salvation. Salvation sent his messengers to rescue Rahab and her family. Joshua, whose name means salvation, in case you didn't get it, sent his messengers to rescue Rahab and her family. That is such a great message for us. God calls us out to go out as well. We are to go out and to share the gospel. We must go forth to share the gospel so that others can hear the word of God. They can make a decision for salvation. We are to be His messenger. We are to be the messengers of God with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are never called to be secret agents of God. We're not called to be secret agent Christians. We are called to go forth in the name of the Lord. We are to seek out the people in need and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we travel into enemy's territory. Did you know that, by the way? Everybody look up here at me. This world belongs to Satan. He won the title deed of earth at the fall in the Garden of Eden. And so God takes the saved person, the Christian, sends him out with the good news into the enemy territory to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. When somebody receives Christ as Lord, that soldier of Christ has snatched them from the jaws of defeat. From the jaws of death. And we bring them back into the glory land. We might have to walk on the earth for the time being, but this is not where you live, friends. This is not your home. You're only travelers in an alien world. Your home is in heaven with God. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Don't miss that. We snatch them from the jaws of hell. When someone receives Jesus Christ, if you've ever had that opportunity to share the gospel, and people are listening, and people are following, and all of a sudden, you see that light go on, there is no feeling like that on earth. None. Because you know that that is now a child of God. That person will be with you in heaven. Forever and ever, amen. You know, I mentioned the Islamic terrorist a little earlier. There's so many stories of Christians just being slaughtered overseas. We saw the 29 Coptic Christians killed in a bus just this week. For no other reason than they were going to church. They are at the throne of God right now. I'm sure they feel better. I'm sure they stood strong for the cause of Christ. They were dragged, some of them were dragged off the bus, demanded to convert. And they said, absolutely not. They stood for Christ. Be ready to stand for Christ, friends. You don't know what's going to happen in this world. You don't know when you will be called to stand strong for Christ. So not only do we see the unsaved are assured of destruction, not only do we see that the saved are assured of delivery, but all are assured of the duration. I'm really sorry about that, but I needed another D. Destruction which means those that are bound for hell, destruction is forever. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, look at the screen up here. It says, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, who does the vengeance belong to? The Lord. And to give to you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, keep going, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, these shall be punished with what? Everlasting, what's that word? Destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Leave it right there, if you would, man on the PowerPoint. Everlasting destruction. Everlasting means forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. If we are in heaven for a trillion years, time does not exist. We have not even passed the first second of the first tick of the clock towards eternity. But the second word is the one that's the scary one. Everlasting destruction. Not destroyed, not burned up and consumed, not torn apart and obliterated, but under destruction. You see, as Christians, you're going to get a glorified body for heaven. You're going to get a body that's designed to last in heaven forever. Hallelujah to that, right? Amen. The one that's bound for hell. Let me ask you this, the lake of fire. Could this body go into a lake of molten lava fire and not be consumed? Of course not. So those that are bound for the lake of fire will get bodies designed to withstand that and to suffer forever. Why would anyone ever not choose Jesus Christ? Not only that, the scripture says that Jesus Christ said that they are cast into the outer void. The outer void. If you're in the outer void, who's there with you? No one. With this body designed to last forever. What else does Jesus say? What else does Jesus say about that? Well, he tells a story of the dead man, the poor man that had died, and he was being carried into the bosom of Abraham, being carried into the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man looked down, he was in torment in Hades, and he said, "Please tell my family, don't do what I have done." So fully aware, under eternal, everlasting destruction, with a body designed to do that, fully aware that you put yourself there. In the outer void. Puts a different perspective on the lake of fire, doesn't it? Friends, I'm not here to scare people. I'm simply here to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that's the duration for the damned. The duration for us, if you look at the screens one more time in Revelation chapter 21 verses 3 through 5. Oh, I love this. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." You have the promise of God right there that you will be with him forever. No more suffering. No more sorrow. One day we'll rejoin Brother Francis. One day we will rejoin Miss Connie. One day we will rejoin Miss Edna. I believe Miss Edna is up there right now striking a pose. You guys know that pose she used to make at the ladies' tea. Friends, when you make a decision for or against Jesus Christ, it's an eternal decision. Make the right one. And finally, our last point as we wrap this up. God assures the dividend. God assures the dividend. Joshua's obedience. Look at verse 27 in chapter 6. If you're there, say amen. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. Joshua's obedience results in God's promised presence and guidance, as well as respect and esteem of the people. Do you want to be esteemed of God? Do you want to be respected of God and the saved? Receive Jesus Christ. The point of this story is that it is God that assures salvation to those that agree with his plan. I want to make sure you got that. Everybody look up here. If you're on the internet, I know right now you think, hey, this guy's been talking a while. Maybe there's only a few more minutes. God assures salvation to those that agree to his plan. All that do not agree to his plan are assured of destruction. But listen, it doesn't have to go there. You don't have to go there today. Just as God made a way for Rahab and her family to be saved, God has made a way for you as well. Amen? And that way has a plan. That way has a name. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What must you believe to be saved? You must believe He is the Son of God. You must believe that He came to earth, that He lived a sinless life. You must believe that He died on the cross for our sins, that He was in the grave 3 days, but on the third day He rose again. And then what must you do? You must receive Him as Lord, confess your sins, repent of them, and live for Christ. It's that simple. Jesus says, you must be born again, John 3:3. Why? Because God said so, amen? My ways are not your ways. I would be a lot nicer and let a lot more people into heaven. However, God did make it simple. When asked, how do I get there? Doubting Thomas, by the way, asked that. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And all God's people said, amen. Grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever hit me.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.